CB Shuckin' Jive.
All you racing fans, stand up, clap your feet, I mean clap your heads.
Welcome to the Goat Rodeo.
CRN Studios in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Racing Through History.
Hello, race fans. Welcome to this edition of the Goat Rodeo. My name's Jeff Gilder. I'm the host of Racing Through History and the Goat Rodeo. And just like to welcome all you folks to our little program tonight. Thanks for coming. We're glad you're here. We're about three goats shy of
a full load.
Are they a herd, a load, a gaggle, or what?
Are they a herd? I think they're a herd, you think?
Are they herds?
But yeah, but in this case, it's a mess.
It's a mess. We're about three goats shy of a mess tonight. Splitter and Bopper have not arrived yet. Cody sent me a text and said he would be on later. But let's get on around here and tell you who is here. Starting out west in the lair, the legend is there. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Jeff, and looking forward to a show. I hope Patrick is going to show up because I heard him last night and I heard his take on the press conference.
Yeah?
And I was just hoping he was going to hear my take on the press conference because we agree a little bit, we disagree a little bit.
Well, that's the way it is, you know, when it's just like mainstream media, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Today, you've got to tune in to a multiple of news agencies to hear everything that's going around. You know, I mean, everything is so agenda-based nowadays. And we're no different. We're an agenda-based news outlet right here. Our agenda is to have fun.
I asked Dale Jr. about his agenda today.
Did you? What did he say?
He said something about this immigration mess and how he's being torn up by one half the people and kissed up to by the other half.
That's the way it is, man. That's the way it is. All right, in the house with us tonight, Coastal Jack Walker is here. How you doing tonight, Coastal Jack?
Doing good, man. Glad to be back in the studio.
Good to have you back, too. Yeah.
I'm coming back, and the other two goats here left.
It ain't like those boys to be this late.
Maybe I would even put my deodorant on or something.
Well, I don't know, man. They didn't know about that.
Yeah.
They would have come anyway. They might have left early.
Well, it might be real strong. You never can tell.
So what's going on in the racing world, man? Tell us what's going on, Coastal Jack. What do you think, man?
I don't know. I think there's been a lot of news since we last had a show, though. So I'm sure we'll get into that pretty shortly.
News about how the Cup Series is going to be
going. Yeah.
And all that happy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of different opinions about that.
Tim, you probably have one, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I've watched the entire press conference, every second of it, and have discussed it with a number of people. In fact, as I bring up in the legendarium, my brother Richard and I talked probably an hour and a half about it over a period of 2 days.
So have you got it all figured out?
No, I don't think anybody will ever have it all figured out because I think it's the probability of logically figuring it out with common sense is just something that's not going to happen in our lifetime.
I saw on our forum where Alex posted the offer to translate if anyone needed a translation. I think we all do.
I think they're still changing it. I think they're still tweaking it.
Probably. And you know, it'll probably keep right on. When are you, what are we, 3 weeks out of Daytona now?
Yep. I mean, I heard something today about They couldn't. They weren't going to open the pits five laps before a stage ends, which is first time I've heard that.
No, I think they. Well, I don't know, because I haven't listened to it since Monday. What is it, 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
Tonight, I think.
Maybe I just missed it then, but that was news to me.
And for you folks listening and wondering where the video feed is, it's coming. I was sitting here eating popcorn and forgot about it. I apologize. but I'll have the video feed up here in just a few seconds. Let's see here. So what else is going on in the racing world?
Well, racing is starting. I mean, we had the 24 Hours of Daytona this past weekend. We had the big race from Cordele, Georgia, the big pro late model and super late model race.
Cordele. Man, I remember driving through there with my dad many, many times as a youngster.
Watermelon Capital Speedway.
Yeah.
Harrison Burton won the big super late model race down there, and Eric Jones finished second.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been hard to try to keep up with what they're doing in the racing world, because I've got the people I deal with on Facebook, you know, I've got some in Canada, which of course they're not racing in Canada yet, but I've got a lot of young drivers up there building cars and getting ready for their dirt track season to start, and you ought to see some of the cars those guys in Canada are building.
Yep.
I mean, it's so much like our, I guess you call them super modifieds or whatever, but I don't know. It's just something so different about them.
So let me butt in there just for a minute and tell the folks that are listening to the radio feed, the Facebook Live feed is now up on the racersreunion.com site on the radio TV page. So I got that up 7 minutes into the show. That's about all you got for me tonight.
And we got a big race coming up around here next weekend over in Dillon, the Pass Series, first race of the year. So,
is that next weekend?
Next weekend, this coming weekend, Saturday.
Oh, this coming weekend. Oh,
yep,
cool.
Saturday.
I've got a full plate for this Saturday.
And then a week from this weekend, the following weekend, in other words, Myrtle Beach has a big race. So, I mean,
what's the Myrtle Beach race going to be?
Yeah, I think they're calling it the Icebreaker or something like that.
Well, what's going on with Bell and Bell? When do y'all plan on kicking that off?
The Bell and Bell season won't open up for probably to March, late March.
And that's going to be what, Dublin and Fayetteville?
Yeah, probably Dublin and Fayetteville. Bobby's the guy to talk to about that, and I don't think they got the schedule together yet. But I'm sure Bobby will want to talk about that if he ever gets here tonight.
Well, what's your involvement in Bell and Bell, Jack? Aren't you involved in it?
I go to a lot of the races. I take some photographs for them and that type of thing. And
he's the official photographer.
Just know a bunch of the guys that race in the series.
Yeah.
And I'll be
I hope to make some of the races. That apparently is catching on big time.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's been doing well. I mean, everybody in the probably for 300 or 400 miles around here knows what the Bell and Bell Vintage Series is. So,
well, how many cars do they have running it now?
If everybody showed up at the same night, it'd probably be over 20.
So. Goodness gracious. They used to not have that many show up on a Thursday night at Columbia Speedway at times.
Yeah.
At other times, you remember, they'd have 35 or 40 late models show up.
I think we had 8 cars go to Daytona for the Vintage Parade last year. I'm not sure how many are going this year. I understand Bobby's not going to be able to make it this year. I'm sure the Bells will be taking a few cars down, but Margaret and I are going to be down in Daytona this year for the vintage stuff.
What dates are you going to be there?
I am leaving. We're going to leave here on that Friday, whatever that Friday is, 15th, whatever the heck it is. And I'm going to go to several of the events. We're going to stay down there for probably 3 or 4 days.
Oh, okay. Well, I get down there on Sunday the 19th, and I'll be there for that and for all of Monday's events, and then for Tuesday's awards brunch.
Yeah.
From Back to the Roots.
Yeah. I want to go out to the K&N race at New Smyrna. I believe it's Saturday night. Check that out.
Well, you're going to have a full Saturday with the old cars on the beach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Then that, yeah.
Might end up at the Volusia County for the sprint cars at some point. So we're going. I'm planning a bunch of stuff. It's going to cost me with Margaret, though. That means I'm going to have to do a lot of art and croissant stuff with her to make up for it. She's already keeping score, and we hadn't even started yet. There you go.
Art and what now?
Art and croissant. The wine sipping stuff.
Oh, okay. I had to stop trying to figure that out, man. Don't hit me with this.
Ballets and shows and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Highfalutin stuff. Well, while we're waiting to get into something here, I think, Jeff, I saw you put it up on the homepage. You know, Randy Myers is involved in this Legends of the Madhouse at Bowman Gray Stadium next Saturday, February the 11th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. You did put that up on. I saw it somewhere
else. I think Randy did.
Oh, Randy did it. Okay. Yeah. But he's got a whole ton of legends that are scheduled to appear up there and sign autographs. And it is to, let me see here, I've got the brochure right in my hand. It's raising money for Ever Tomorrow Foundation. And I got to get my magnifying glass to see what this other one is. But Randy and I were talking about it. Hold on with the magnifying glass. I can't even see it.
So, if you give up on that, you could start the Legendorial.
Oh, I'd be glad to start the Legendorial. Is Patrick here yet?
Yeah, Patrick's here.
All right, Patrick, listen up. As a preface to my Legendorial, I want to tell you, Patrick, I listened to you last night, and I agree with a lot of what you said, and kind of don't agree with some of it, but I sure like the way you said it. Tonight, I've entitled this Legendorial, Let Me Tweak This Just a Little. Was it truly only a week ago last night that NASCAR held its famous press conference in which several new rules and words were set forth? Words such as incentivize, enhancement, and segment racing. Yep, it sure was, although it seems like much longer than that. I must admit that while listening to the experts and know-it-alls express their opinion, I was less than impressed. That was the old me disliking anything that is different than the racing with which I grew up. However, after a lengthy telephone conversation with my brother Richard and emails and texts with several others, I began to see all of this from a different point of view. We want to be rid of the chase, right? Well, it's gone. It's now being called what it really was all along, although I never understood how stock car racing could have a playoff. What my brother pointed out was that we would be seeing pretty much the same thing we used to cheer on at the half-mile and quarter-mile tracks where we learned the sport. Literally, two heat races and the main event. Although NASCAR is now calling these stages 1 and 2, and then the race to the finish, I won't even try to go into the convoluted way points are going to be awarded for these stages and the overall race winner. In addition to that, all that, the Twin 150s in Daytona, soon to be on our TV, will award points for the first 10 positions. Those points will count toward the playoff seed. Again, I've never been good with math, so I won't pretend to try and predict what it's going to take to make these playoff rounds. But the bottom line is that only 4 guys will be running for the championship at Homestead in November. But wait, hold the presses. There was a statement made that there is going to be a regular season champion crowned after the first 26 races. Not quite sure I got the full details of that, other than it appears to be an appeasement to fans not satisfied with the playoff winner. I'm very interested to see how that works and how many extra points the regular season winner will receive toward the playoff championship. Will the racing be better? As my brother said, racing for points in the segments should cease this running in back most of the Daytona Diamondback races and may return to some competitive racing. That remains to be seen, but I can definitely see that happening. That win and you're in rule is gone. has now done all on points, earned in several different ways. Overall, I think that's a good thing. I also heard it said that putting the races in segment will give television viewers more green flag racing as the networks can schedule commercials and segment breaks. I have my doubts that NBC or Fox will buy that for a minute, but we shall see. I do have a problem with the statement that this type of racing is going to, quote, enhance the fan experience of the track, end quote. I fail to see under what circumstances the fan experience is enhanced, with a sole exception that fans may choose to make their concession in bathroom breaks during the segment separating yellow flags. Can you just imagine the lines? I noticed all the folks on that panel sitting on stage had these looks on their faces as if they were having gas pains and couldn't release the gas. Even steady Jeff Gordon appeared as though he was slightly drugged and trying to remember the lines he was supposed to say. I also thought it was odd that the guy calling on the press with questions hadn't said exactly who was going to be called and when. To me, that seemed while we still face the ever-changing and fluid rule-making of NASCAR, depending upon what Brian France may deem appropriate today, I am looking forward to seeing that this is going to happen in 2017. This is a new challenge for teams, drivers, and fans. All the rumors and backroom innuendos I have heard since last month leave plenty of questions for all of us. I do think, however, that I am going to proceed on a positive that this is going to be a unique season with different challenges and a different experience for all of us. Give it a chance has been repeated over and over by my acquaintances, friends, and probably some enemies too. And that is my position as well. Excuse me now while I go to compute how many points I earned for keeping this legendarial under 2 pages. Did that enhance your fan experience? I hope so. I strive to give fans my very best own keyboard product, and I do it all without the benefit of constant energy. Thank you, and back to you, Jeff. I'm sure I'll be on the homepage shortly. Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you, Tim.
I fully agree with you on everything you said, which is very unusual. what was the difference between what you said and what Patrick said? I'm curious.
Patrick was a little more adamant about the fact that he didn't like it. It sucks. I think it was the exact quote from him. But he specifically said he didn't want any of this bit of chance. Yes. And, it was hard. I think my brother Richard is the one who convinced me to give it a chance. And he studies these things. When I get around to writing something like this, I look at it, I read it, and I may study it a little bit. But Richard flat out studies it, and he knows what he's talking about. It's like he doesn't miss Race Up, and he doesn't miss any of these other racing shows on. He's probably one of the most positive racing historians that you'll ever come across. He has a memory that I unfortunately don't have, but he can remember things that happened during his career as if they happened yesterday. And I can remember a lot of them, sometimes not chronologically, but I can remember. But He is amazing for the memory he has for every little bit of everything that he does around racing. But, we'll just have to see. But he convinced me to give it a chance. Yes.
I think you should give it a chance. I think everybody should give it a chance. To me, I think it's going to be an improvement in the racing.
Well, it's got to be an improvement at Daytona and Talladega at the very least. And I think, too, It will be an improvement for this win in your end deal, because that was the thing where they would win a race and then all of a sudden, oh, I don't have to try the rest.
Exactly.
We can experiment, we can do this and we can do that. Well, now, buddy, you got to earn the points.
Yep.
So,
but we're in a lifetime of gimmicks and rewards and funky stuff going on, and if you got to do something, which I wish they wouldn't do, but if you got to do something, I think this is a good start.
Well, you know, they've changed the rules in football. They've changed the rules in basketball. I'm not sure about baseball, but Jeff, you'll know more about this than I do, but I just read last week a long article where they're going to drastically change the rules of golf. Do you know anything about that?
No. They will not change the rules of golf.
No, well, that was on, I think it was a Yahoo Sports line.
Yeah. Well, the problem with the only thing that they did to change the rules in golf was that they are going to make the RNA and the USGA more alike. And that'll affect it a little bit, but, I mean, there are people out there creating their own rules for golf because they can't adhere to the USGA and RNA rules. But as far as the USGA and RNA changing the rules, nothing drastic is about to happen there. We had the pleasure of going to the PGA show this past week and go to the ING conference every year. And at both those, I have an opportunity to sit with a guy, Mr. Dean Knuth, who they call Pope of Slope. He's the guy that wrote the slope ratings and the handicap for the USGA. And I had a lengthy conversation with him last year about why they don't create a more relaxed set of rules for amateur golfers. And you don't bring up rule changes to those people. It's not taken lightly, no. So whoever wrote that, I'd like to go read it and see myself. I can tell you from that perspective, there is nothing major about to happen to the rule changes in golf.
All right, well, go back. It's about a week or so ago that it was on the Yahoo Sports line. The thing I read Yahoo, I read Fox Sports, I read NBC Sports just about every morning. Venture over to J-Ski about once a week, you know, and try to keep up with all that's going on. But, you know, so much has been happening. You know, the amazing thing about that press conference, and Jack, did you watch it?
I did watch it.
Yeah, the amazing thing was Brian came out and said, what, maybe 80 words, and then he was gone.
Handlers had him under control. That's good.
Yeah, he said about 79 too many. But
so let's say
he was gone.
Let's say hello to two more who've wandered in off the street. Speaking of off the street, the man on the street, Hewlin Oval Crash, Mr. Splitter himself is here. How you doing tonight, sir?
I just wandered in off the street.
You did. You're late. You get demerits for that.
Well, I got my popcorn and my usual seat, so.
So, yeah, that's
you least, didn't hurt me too bad.
That's the least I can do. Bopper, how you doing tonight, bud?
Doing good. I'm scared we might run late, and we actually did. We had to stop off there at Bell and Bell for a brief moment.
High-level conference.
You're excused.
Bobby, we don't accept excuses here.
but we don't accept that you don't accept.
Yeah,
I'm glad y'all made it, both of you, Bobber. Yeah. You.
So that's cool, man. All right, good run on the Legend Tour there. Thank you, Mr. Tim. We appreciate that. Let's go to the Carolina Race Place historic race finish, straight from the archives of the CarolinaRaceplace.zoomshare.com. Brought to you in part by Bobby's Auto Parts up in Charlotte, North Carolina, the home of the endless warranty. Take it away, CJ.
Well, tonight we are going to Augusta Raceway, Augusta, Georgia. I don't have a whole lot of information on this.
What year?
Really skinny. You know, that's funny. I didn't even put it on my list here, but I do know
what. 1960 what?
You're right. It is a 1960, but it's about as far up in 1960 as you can get. 1969.
Huh.
The 100 lap NASCAR late model sportsman race was held at the 1/2 mile paved Augusta Raceway on Saturday night, October the 10th, 1969. Several of the top late model sportsman drivers chasing national points were at the track that night, including Red Farmer, Bobby Allison, Jack Ingram, Harry Gant, and Sam Summers. During time trials, Little Bud Moore from Charleston, South Carolina, won the pole position. The two late model sportsman heat races were won by Jack Ingram and Buzzy Turner. The preliminary hobby feature was won by Roy Chatham. A late model field of 29 drivers took the green flag in the feature 100 lap event that night. at the start. Bud Moore took the lead. Moore was challenged several times during the race by Jack Ingram, Bobby Allison, Ned Setzer, Bob Presley, and Don Tumberlin. Two of the top competitors, Harry Gant and Ned Setzer, dropped out of the race early with mechanical problems. Bud Moore continued to lead all the way to the checkered flag at lap 100. I apologize for not many details, but there's just not many available on this one. But anyway, here's the way they finished. The winner, Bud Moore, Charleston, South Carolina, followed by Bobby Allison, Hueytown, Alabama, Jack Ingram, Asheville, North Carolina, Don Tumberlin, Warner Robins, Georgia, Red Farmer, Hueytown, Alabama was fifth, followed by Bob Leach, Tucker, Georgia, Harold Fountain, Martinez, Georgia, Junior Johnson, Florence, South Carolina, Bob Presley, Asheville, North Carolina, finishing 10th, E.G. Atkins, Rutherfordton, North Carolina, Sam Summers, Savannah, Georgia, Bobby Jones, Greenville, South Carolina, Clarence Ogle, Swannanoa, North Carolina, Marion Woodward, Augusta, Georgia, finishing 15th, Philip Atkinson, Augusta, Georgia, Jimmy Deason, Greenwood, South Carolina, Eldon Yarborough, Jacksonville, Florida, Billy Hearn, Warrensville, Georgia, Lester Durham, Augusta, Georgia, finishing 20th, Harold Jacobs. I'm not sure where he was from. Bobby, is he from up around Charlotte, Harold Jacobs? That name sounds familiar. I just couldn't find out where he was from. Anyway, J.W. Boatwright from Rael, Georgia, was 21st, followed by James Burnett, Union, South Carolina, Buzzy Turner, Washington, Georgia, Bosco Lowe, Fletcher, North Carolina, James Bozeman, Augusta, Georgia, finished 25th, Ned Setzer, Cherryville, North Carolina, Harry Gant, Taylorsville, North Carolina, Mike Adams, Seneca, South Carolina, and the 29th and final car, Laverne Lowe, North Augusta, South Carolina. So that's the way it was.
What was the 1969? No,
October 10th, 1969 at Augusta Raceway.
Was it paved or dirt?
It was paved. It was paved.
And Junior Johnson was there?
Yes, he was. Junior Johnson, the Florence Junior.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's the way it was.
That's the way it was. There it is. Right straight from the Carolina Race Place.
From the archive.
From the archives. We continue to do them. Hell, for 8 years
now. 8 years, man. That's really cool.
Except for a little standard of beach music that we did for a while.
Yeah, really cool, really cool.
I've got it. It's kind of funny. I had to go to a second binder not too long ago. I got a binder that thick of race results and another one about that thick. So.
Phone's ringing. I know better than to answer it. That's probably for the golf package company.
Well, let's sell them something to Daytona.
Yeah, sell them something.
I don't think it's someone calling into the show. I don't. That would be rare, but
it might be.
The new phone system rings in here too. Mm-hmm. Normally, it doesn't ring this time of night. We apologize, folks.
It might be somebody calling from Alaska or something.
All right, you got it. That's good. All right, Splitter.
Yes, sir.
You got any Hughes news and views on the news tonight?
Oh, man, he's got a page.
Oh, he's got a whole page.
He's got more than I had.
No Holy help. Cow. No Hugh, take it away, buddy.
Hey, cool. I want to talk about one of the inductees into the Hall of Fame this year, somebody that I don't think's ever gotten the accolades and the notoriety that he really deserves, and that's, to me, everybody's buddy, Benny Parsons.
Yeah.
To me, he was just the nicest, most polite, congenial racer that I was ever privileged to be around.
Hey, Jack.
He always had a smile on his face. He always would stop and speak to you and shake your hand. He always wanted to know how you were as opposed to how he was. And he was always open to the argument, as most people knew when he was racing. He lived in Ellerbe, North Carolina. And there was an ongoing, I don't know whether you want to call it a feud, but if you're from Ellerbe, are you an Ellerbian or an Ellerbean? And I don't think it ever got answered, but there were always the two factions, and they always, no matter what one said, the other said the opposite. But Benny Benny did quite well for himself. He won the 1973 Grand National, back then, Winston Cup Championship. And he won it in rather dramatic fashion, for any of you racers that happen to have been around to remember that. Early on in the race, the Rockingham race, which he was hoping to sew up from Richard Petty, had a like on lap 12 or 13, had a crash with Bobby Allison and tore his car all to pieces. Travis Carter and most of the crews on the infield pitched in and put that car back together. But I was there. I remember seeing it, and the only piece of sheet metal that was on the car was the left rear half of the left quarter panel. And that's all. It was just a rolling chassis with that one piece of sheet metal on it. Of course, NASCAR let him run it anyway. He got in enough laps to clinch the championship. He was a 73 Winston Cup champion. In 1968 and 1969, he was the ARCA champion. In 1996, he was awarded an Emmy for his broadcasting efforts with ESPN, I believe it was. But to me, Benny was just the kind of the spokesperson that NASCAR needed back then, and it's just a shame that we don't have anybody of his caliber following along behind him. To me, he was just a great ambassador of life and the sport.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that, Hugh.
Besides, he was always my hero.
Speaking of the Benny Parsons big wreck story and modern NASCAR, and Tim, I guess I'm asking this of you, is there any, in reviewing the new rules for NASCAR, have you come upon anything that says that they will prohibit any car damaged in a wreck, losing body panels, et cetera, is basically out of the event from that point
forward? That's exactly what I read. And the people that make Bear Bond are filing bankruptcy. No, they say that is a rule, that if it's, you can't replace anything on the body, if it breaks, you're out of the race. Take it to the garage. I can't believe it.
Does that mean if it breaks off or it just breaks? In other words,
they crash them up now and the front fender's bent up around the headlights and they come in and slap. Sometimes they put on another piece of fender over it, and tape it on with Bear Bond. The way I heard it, that's no longer going to be allowed.
Now, what is the rationale behind that one?
Well, they say too many caution flags are coming out because pieces of the wrecked cars are flying off and hitting the track, as if they care about caution flags. You know, that certainly is going to put a dent in these debris caution, phantom debris. Well, I guess it won't, because they can still call it. But, you know, the situation, when I read that, and I forgot where I read it, and again, it could be fake news, because they put all this stuff everywhere. And it could be fake, but no, they don't really want to do that. But I think I've seen it two or three different places, not to mention all the conversations.
Well, that's just going to usher in just a series of judgment calls as to how wrecked is wrecked,
right,
and who makes those calls.
Yeah, exactly. Who's on the track and who's off the track.
If Dale Jr.'s fender comes loose on the last lap of the Daytona 500, is what they going to, you know.
Yeah, but if it's fender's loose, it's not off.
Well, that's my point. I mean, that is my point. This is judgment calls. It's going to be hard to legislate and enforce that kind of thing. I mean, it sounds cut and dried now, but
And by the way, I have a picture of that race car at Rockingham of Benny Parsons up behind you guys right now.
Hey, cool.
Yeah, it's about to run over Bobby and me.
Yep.
You escaped.
Oh, I just got informed it was Bob Pockrass.
Bob Pockrass?
Pockrass that posted that news on ESPN.
Pocky.
So, about the damaged body rule.
About the damaged body rule. So, you know, I would have to say, based on his status and his inside information, I would say it's a pretty good bet. But see, we haven't seen all the rules yet, and I don't think they've even completed formulating all the rules yet. We're going to have to wait till we get to Daytona to see, and I will bet you between the the Sunday they have, the whatever they call it race, and the time they run the 500, that's going to change five or six or seven times. Or the Saturday night. What do they call that thing?
The like Advance Auto Parts. How can you not remember that?
Well, it wasn't that last year.
Well, I thought it was going to be the Bobby's Auto Parts Classic.
That is of no concern what it was last year.
Well, you got a point there, George.
It's the Advance Auto Parts Clash. Remember that. Write it down.
The Advance Auto Parts.
Every time
Clash,
that comes on the radio, stand up and salute to somewhere.
Are you Advance Auto Parts or what are you, Bobby? Oh.
CarQuest.
He is CarQuest, not Advance.
People at Naval don't like you.
We don't care.
On the subject of Napa, they are not going to be on Chase Elliott's car 100% of the race.
Will they be on Michael Waltrip's?
I don't know, but you know who is going to be at least some of the time. That is going to Hooters restaurant.
Yes, which is quite a turnaround, because after Bob Brooks died, the son that took it over wanted to get out of racing.
Yeah, but then didn't they sell the whole company?
I don't know. Is the whole company sold?
I have heard that.
Oh, that makes a difference then.
I don't know who to, but I have heard that the whole thing was sold.
Because, you know, when Bob Brooks was alive, that's probably the biggest challenge to NASCAR in modern times.
Yep.
Well, you know, they
headway.
Yeah.
They've already had pictures of the Hooters car for Chase Elliott put up. Sure did.
Yeah, Bob Brooks.
Henrik Motorsports has put up the pictures of them.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember that Hooters North and Hooters South Pro Cup Series. Hell, they had like 43 cars starting every race and, you know, turning cars away.
They had a big racing operation.
Oh, man.
And Bob Brooks also owned his own airline.
Oh, absolutely.
Hooters Air.
Yeah. And a hotel in Las Vegas.
He had a golf league going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was the whole purpose for Hooters Air.
He lived 10 miles from where we are right now.
Man? Is this man still living?
No, he died.
No, that's the problem.
That was the problem.
He was from Loris, I think.
Yeah, but he lived right down in dune section of Myrtle Beach.
He was a local yokel. Mm-hmm. He really was. Local boy does good.
Mm-hmm. And he did good, that's for sure.
Yep.
So Bernie Bernicki just posted on our Facebook feed under the show that he just listened to a portion of tonight's show, and it's great to hear people who love racing as much as I do since 1961 and have hair as gray as me. Wish I could. It would be back the way it was.
Amen.
It'll never happen, Bernie, but we're glad you're with us.
Thank you, Bernie.
Yeah, it'll never happen. You got that right.
Well... No, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what is the Pass Series? I mean, I know I've heard so much about it.
It's super late model racing.
All right. What is this series that is running the cars that look like the Grand National cars from the 80s? What is that series?
I do not know.
Because they have some really, really good looking cars that you would think were 1980 Grand National cars.
That sounds like a vintage series of some sort.
No, it's not really. I saw something
Arco would put on, maybe.
No, it's running apparently right around the part of North Carolina you're in, Popper.
Never heard of it.
So that's not a mass series or whatever there Jerry's involved in, is it?
The street stocks?
Yeah, street stock maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. The ones that look like the Grand Nationals. But I think it is mass. I think that's what I heard.
Mass is out.
Yep.
What do you mean out?
It's over.
It's over.
Get it.
Get it. Get it. Get it.
Oh.
A lady was walking down the sidewalk, Tim, in front
all
of
right,
the church.
All right, Bopper, you say three Hail Marys and like
she said,
hold on a minute. Let me get Cody in here.
Next thing you know, Tootie Green's going to resurface.
Yep.
Cody, are you there? Cody.
I'm here.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Cody.
How you doing tonight, man?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Cody, how tall are you now?
6'7".
I'm almost believing that from the picture I saw.
Probably 6 foot.
Wow.
He growed up.
That was a good-looking picture you posted on Facebook there, Cody.
That's a long way from that little 11-year-old boy.
I just put it up, I just put it up on the back.
The one in the suit?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the background now with all the guys.
Cool.
I'm gonna put you right in between.
Got a coat and tie on?
Yeah, I saw it on the.
There he is. Now he's right. He's sitting there right between you and Bobby, Jack.
Cool. He's almost old enough to drink a cold beer.
Almost.
Well, Cody, that's really cool, man. You got anything you want to talk about tonight?
Yeah, I apologize that I'm late.
Ever have to apologize. We understand what it's like to be a working man.
So that picture was taken at the Hall of Fame, the NASCAR Hall of Fame, next to the Raymond Park statue. And I wish I would have brought my fedora because I would have just fit right in.
Yes, you would.
But, I was just going to say that induction, that was just fantastic. I'd never been to one of the NASCAR inductions before, and they put on a really, really nice show. And I just still am so proud that Raymond Parks is finally a member of the Hall of Fame. It was a surreal night, you know, just to see that everybody finally kind of understands what he done to, you know, make stock car racing more known and what it is today. And I firmly believe if it wasn't for him, then we may not be sitting here tonight talking amongst each other.
That's what the song says.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cody, does he have much family that there was at the Hall of Fame? Was there relatives or?
There was a lot of relatives. You know, he's got his widow, Violet, his son-in-law, Steve, his granddaughter, accept the nomination. I'd never met her before, but you know, it's just there's not a whole lot of his family. He only had one son, and I believe he passed away sometime in the 90s, but, you know, regardless, even though I feel like a lot of people that was present at that ordeal, and I heard there was about 2,400 people, some of them have probably heard of him but didn't know a whole lot about him, and I don't know if you guys saw the color footage that NASCAR had gotten a hold of Raymond's personal collection, but it was color and sound footage from 41 and 42 of stock car racing.
Wow.
And it just blew me away, and they presented a lot of it on stage on the screens, but you had, you know, color. They was all in color of Lloyd C., Roy Hall. There's a lot of Bill France, and the more I got to thinking about it, I didn't realize that Bill France drove for Raymond that much. But it was all in color. I learned a lot by watching this.
Was it originally colored? Or they colorized it.
It was originally colored, which surprises me. Apparently, Raymond hired to go to the racetracks and take footage of his cars all in color, and some of it was in sound, and it just amazed me that, you know, when do you think they started doing that, in the 80s or 90s when people started doing that again? But apparently Raymond had this film commissioned, and he never really looked at it past the 40s, so but it just blew me away. And but, hey, do it now.
Are you going to be able to get that film for the Georgia Hall of Fame?
I'm going to see what I can do. I had a good conversation with our friend Buzz, and, you know, a lot of others, and we're going to see what we can do to get a copy of it. But it's there was an article on NASCAR.com about it, and it had three little clips, about a minute apiece, minute and a half. And if you get the chance, just maybe Google Raymond Parks NASCAR.com or something to bring it up, but it'll really shock you of how clear this footage is. So
cool,
but
good stuff, man.
That is cool. I didn't even know they had color home movies in the 40s.
I didn't either.
I think they had it till the 50s.
That's why I was asking about colorizing.
Raymond Parks drove himself a time or two.
Yeah, he did.
Time or two. According to Buzz McKim, it's the earliest known color stock car footage in existence. Now, I've seen some from 47 or 48, but it's amazing. And so, you know, I'm still, I just can't say enough good things. I'm just so proud that Raymond is finally a member of the Hall of Fame and more people can learn about his legacy and his history and what all he done for stock car racing.
Absolutely. Finally. Thank you, Cody. That's awesome, buddy. Thanks for being here tonight. Bopper.
The Raymond Parks story was a huge part of early racers' reunion.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
We was all so behind that effort to try to get him in the Hall of Fame.
One of my proudest things that I have in my possession is a picture that was taken of Mr. Parks and the original trophy. And that was over there at J.B. Day's River Bend Museum. I think it might have been at the same time I met you, Cody, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
it might have been the same event.
Same year, yeah. 2008.
Yeah, I have that picture, though, of Mr. Parks there and that original trophy, and that was one of my proudest possessions.
That was it 2008 of the first Darlington vintage,
I think it was,
historic thing?
Yeah.
When we, you know, that's the first time I met you, Jeff.
Yep.
And on that same occasion, that was also the occasion of the famous David Pearson statement.
Good to see you, too.
That also happened that weekend.
And that was on Labor Day.
And also, I got to see from a distance, but I got to see Mr. Raymond Parks pulled up to some part of that function. There was like a question and answer session in a big tent.
Yep, I remember that.
Ned Jarrett and somebody else was conducting.
Yep.
And I remember like a Lincoln or something like that come up there and stopped, and Mr. Raymond Parks got out.
Yep.
And I think he went to that event, the tent show.
We had the pleasure of interviewing him at Dawsonville there one year, Cody. I can't remember which year that was. You were there. Which was cool. It was very cool. I'm really just thrilled to death that we got started early enough to have an opportunity to at least get to talk to him firsthand.
The thing is, and everybody knows it, is he could have been inducted while he was still alive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and it was accomplished. I mean, he's inducted now, so why couldn't he have been in?
Oh, he could have, man. That was really a disgrace to the whole thing, the way that whole thing started off.
Well, a lot of people got educated to who he was. I mean,
they
just didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not taking anything away, but guys like Rusty Wallace, for example, have been inducted into the Hall of Fame ahead of Raymond Parks. Right. And I'm not discounting them, but Mr. Parks was up in years.
Yeah.
And it didn't take a rocket science to figure out that
he wasn't going to be around.
He wasn't going to be around. And this could be a really big moment to induct him. Now, we could always induct Rusty Wallace.
Yeah.
You know, and those
or
Dale
Jarrett or Darrell Walter.
Or Darrell Walter. You know, but a lot of years was consumed.
Right.
Especially the early years of the Hall of Fame, they were consumed doing that. And I'm not discrediting what happened, but I think they failed to see the bigger picture.
I agree 100%.
You know, it was, you're talking about people not knowing who Raymond was, it was really a kind of a touching moment. They put together just a little biography about him, maybe 2-3 minutes long. And if you saw it on TV, you know what I'm talking about. And they had clips from different interviews they'd had starting probably the 90s and early 2000s, mid-2000s, and just of him talking about things. And the last thing, the last clip before they brought it back to stage was him, I think it was from 97. And it was saying he, you know, I thought that by this time people didn't know who I was or what I'd done anymore. And then it kind of went to the stage. That was very a good moment to feel that, you know, people do know who he is. And, you know, he's finally recognized.
I have since read, since that the induction, I have read glowing reports about Mr. Raymond from Richard and Kyle Petty. For example, I have read them. And why in the world did these glowing reports come out sooner?
20 years ago.
I mean, I've been a fan all of my life. I never heard of Mr. Raymond.
Yeah.
And I've been a super close fan to the sport all of my life.
Well, Cody can speak to some of that,
if he will. And this was like a hit and buried subject.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
and
which didn't mean it wasn't true. It was just buried.
Yep.
And I think a lot of it why he wasn't inducted originally is because people on, and this is just a guess, you know, some members on the voting committee and just fans in general, if you look at his biography for the Hall of Fame, it says he won two races. And that was, they're only counting 49. The Strictly Stock, he Red Byron won Martinsville and Daytona. And that's it. And so a casual fan would say, well, why would somebody with two wins get into the NASCAR Hall of Fame? But they're not counting the modified races. They're not counting his part of just himself being a part of where it came from and the money. And I thought they'd done a pretty good job of explaining that he was the money man and that if not for him, you know, might not have gotten off the ground.
Did that come out in the induction ceremony?
It did.
That's great. You know,
they said that on the biography. And Richard and Kyle apparently knew him pretty well. They were really good friends with one of Raymond's cousins. And so they knew his story, but it's just the fact of getting his story out there, you know.
Well, no effort was ever made back in the day, I can assure you, to get it out.
I agree. I don't
think that was not done. They can say whatever they want to
now. I don't think I ever heard of them until late 90s.
I think it was mid-90s. It was purposely suppressed.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, we're all glad that he got in, but it could have been a lot better than it.
Yep.
You know, I read Kyle said, and Richard said, without Mr. Raymond Parks, there would be no Richard Petty. I mean, that is a quote from them, which that is true. That is 100% true.
Well, Dale Earnhardt did his part several years ago. I mean, he called him the godfather of motorsports.
Yeah.
You know, he knew.
I don't know. I just fail to understand why that threatened anybody, the role that Mr. Parks had played, why that was a such a complicated issue of how do we handle it? Do we even discuss it? You know, and then so some of the stuff that don't make any sense, but goes on anyway. You know, so anyway, I'm glad he got in. I'm very glad he was so deserving.
Well, don't you think part of that may have been that he was considered a threat to the legacy of the France family?
Exactly. Yeah.
I think you're right, Tim.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think, you know, the bootleg connection and that image that they have, you know,
It was during that time they were trying to skirt that whole image.
Right.
Well, what's the status of that now? Are they still trying to skirt it, or have they accepted it? They've got one of Junior Steele's in the Hall of Fame.
I think they've accepted it. I think they swung back the other way.
It's
cool now.
Yeah. When I was at the Hall of Fame, I went to the gift shop because I wanted a t-shirt, because every year they have a t-shirt made of every inductee, and Raymond's had the picture of the 22 car and his face, and I just wanted one as a souvenir. And they had several t-shirts relating to moonshine, and they all had a saying from, I don't know, from Shine to the track, or from the backwoods to the track, but it had a picture of a still, the moonshine car. There was about four or five different designs, so there's no hiding it if they produce t-shirts that say that.
That's a change in posture.
Yeah, that had been always true.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
Go ahead, Cody. No, I was just saying, I wonder why all of a sudden it is acceptable when they're doing everything they can to get it into whatever upper class, highfalutin deal that they're trying to get it into.
I think I'm not going to say a long time ago, but you know, I would just guess that Bill France had no relation to moonshine. He was a clean cut, a businessman that just made his empire. And I just don't think they wanted NASCAR associated with an illegal activity.
Or he was and didn't want anybody to know it.
Yeah. But everybody did know it. The reality is everybody knew it anyway.
Yeah, because a lot of the tracks, a lot of the short tracks in North Carolina and Georgia were built with, quote, liquor money.
Well, hell, Macon, Georgia had a liquor still under it. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. That was right.
If that was a secret, it was the worst guarded one in American experience.
Oh, Lord, we didn't need WikiLeaks to tell us about that one.
Everybody knew that.
Yeah, everybody already knew that.
Yeah, and that's, and it depends on how you look at it. I think it makes the heritage richer. I think it makes it, it has a lot more dimensions.
Yeah, if you totally understand how it all came about, you know, I mean, it does.
My granddad was a rum runner. I think it's a cool legacy.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I love that part of, you know, that he was always very embarrassed, and it was a great family secret that I unearthed after he passed away. But I thought it was the greatest story in the world.
Yeah.
You know? It just, that's cool. That's the stuff people write stories about. Yeah.
Well, I think when you look at the situation that in stock car racing effectively came out of Appalachian heritage, and that was moonshine, and it came on over through the Carolinas and Georgia. And well, I think all of that is a part of Americana that we can't overlook. We can't forget it, because those were the people in the Depression era that suffered the worst, but made the best of it.
So you say that, and that's true as it relates to early stock car racing in America. But I don't know if you remember this or not, and it's on the new site because it was on the old site. There were some folks that joined our site from South America, and what we learned from the stuff that they posted is at the same time that was happening in North America, stock car cars being converted to race cars, it was happening, stock car racing was happening in South America as well. You know, we take credit for it, and we say it all started here. I don't know if they heard about it and did it there, but there are photographs on the website and posts about early stock car racing in South America that happened at the same time it happened here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that any geographic locality can really realistically claim, you know, that we founded
stock
car.
Yeah, we started it. Yeah.
I mean, shoot, even in the 50s, in the 1955, I think it was, Crawfish Crider and one of the Myers brothers and a couple other guys went to England to race, took the cars over on the Queen Mary, I think it was.
Yep.
Let me tell y'all where I went this Sunday. We got a few minutes left. Yep. I just want to give you a glimpse of life on the other side. And I had mentioned earlier that I was going to go to a Monster Jam.
Yeah.
Monster Truck Show.
And you went.
And I went this Sunday to it was in the PNC Arena, which is the it's in Raleigh. It's the home of the Carolina Hurricanes, the ice hockey team, and it's also the home of NC State, where they play their basketball games. And it's sort of on their athletic campus, because right next door to PNC Arena was the Wolfpack Football Stadium. I'm not sure what its current name is, but it's just like NASCAR. They bid out the naming rights to whoever will pay them, you know, because this arena used to be called RBC, and now it is PNC. So anyway, another Lowe's Motor Speedway type of. But this was a Monster Jam event. The first part that shocked me and still does was its location. It was in Raleigh, North Carolina. Who run out. Yeah. Stock car racing in the 50s.
No race in Raleigh.
And at that time, they had an ultra-modern, state-of-the-art super speedway that was even lighted.
Yep.
With Indy cars running on it. Yep. I mean, that was you couldn't get more modern and upscale than what they refused to tolerate. So now, in 2016, here is a motorsports event. In Raleigh, North Carolina. This event was populated. This arena is pretty big. It's a three-tiered, you know, I don't know what it will hold, maybe 20,000 if it was full or fit, something like that. And it certainly wasn't full, but it was a pretty good, impressive crowd.
How'd your grandson like it?
Absolutely loved it. Ate it.
And that's the key. Think about that. Think about what stock car racing was to us as kids.
Well, he was more into it than I was at my first race. But the thing, the audience at this Monster Jam was 100% kids.
How about that?
And these are different races, different. I mean, the very thing NASCAR is drooling over.
Yeah.
They've already lost this battle. It is lost. They've got multiracial, and all these kids bring their parents. There's at least two parents, you know, for every one kid. and in some cases they have more than one child. But the whole facility is full of kids.
And they're running multiple events across the United States every time.
Yeah,
every time they do it.
Yeah. And Kai was, he's not quite three, and boy, he was into it. So they go from his age up to, I don't know, 10, 11, 12.
How about teenagers?
I didn't see as many of them. There was one elderly gentleman, sort of like us, sitting behind me, and he was really into it. He even brought binoculars. Like, he might have been an ex-racing fan. He knew to bring binoculars. But they only had 8 trucks.
How long did it last?
Exactly 2 hours.
Perfect time.
And there was a 30-minute intermission in the middle.
So halftime, you go get something to eat.
That's
right. They sell refreshments.
Bye.
We're getting out of here, folks. Good stuff, Bobby. I want to take Eli to one of those. Dustin and I were talking about it. I'm going to talk to you after the show.
There's one in Columbia coming up soon.
I need to get tickets.
Oh, they're in all the former NASCAR cities. All of them.
Thanks so much for tuning in tonight, folks. We love it. We mean it. Thank you for letting us be part of your Tuesday night. Thanks to all of you that helped put the show together tonight. Cody's glad to get you in here, buddy. Tim, thanks. Bobby, Hugh, Jack. To all you fans out there, one more time, we love you. We mean it. And as always, I want to say a special thanks to the men and women that serve our military. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do this. To each and every one of you, good night and God bless.
Dragus.com. Staging in the wet plane.